Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works. One of the ancient schools of philosophy that did in fact have quite a few physical and metaphysical doctrines that Aristotle is going to examine fairly closely in Metaphysics Book 1 is that associated with Pythagoras. We call it the Pythagorean school, and it's a little bit difficult to tell which things were directly coming from Pythagoras. For example, the Pythagorean theorem that you probably come across in algebra classes. Because it was a sort of a close-knit community that often tended to attribute to their founder some of the doctrines of the school. And Pythagoras is several hundred years before Aristotle, so he talks instead about the Pythagoreans and what it is that they teach as a contemporary school in his own setting. So he says that they are doing a kind of enterprise that's different than many of the more physically oriented philosophers who attribute things to, say, the elements or other things along those lines, because Pythagoras and his followers, he credits them with having discovered mathematics and having developed that science. We don't have to worry about that, but they certainly made extensive use of it. They think that mathematics is the basis of everything. And so, you know, this is an idea that has not died with the Pythagorean school by any means. We still see people saying things like this at the present. So he says that through studying mathematics, they came to believe that the principles, the archai, the beginning ruling factors, you could say, were the principles of everything, not just mathematics, but everything else. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, what those look like. He says, since numbers are by nature first among these principles, number is arithmoi, right? He said that they fancied that they could detect in numbers to a greater extent than in the elements like fire, earth, and water, many analogs of what is and comes into being. So they ended up extending the consideration of number not just to the physical world, but also to moral matters or phenomena. He mentions, for example, a certain property of number being justice, another being soul or mind, another being opportunity, kairos, you know, the right time. And so they view all of these things as either being numbers themselves or as being functions or modes of numbers. And they systematically extend their theory to try to cover everything. This is another central aspect of philosophy. It attempts to be systematic. So he says, since they saw that properties and ratios of musical scales are based on numbers, and since it seemed clear that all of the things have their whole nature modeled on numbers, and that numbers are the ultimate things in the whole physical universe, they assumed the elements of numbers to be the elements of everything, and the entire universe to be a proportion or number. So this is a point of view and a project that has very universal scope. They really are trying to extend their theory to everything. And I'll give you some examples of what he tells us about them, giving a bit of summary. He says, the elements of number are the even and the odd. Of these, the former is limited, that is the even, and the odd are unlimited. Unity consists of both, since it's both odd and even. Number is derived from unity, and numbers comprise the whole universe. And then he said, others of the same school hold that there's 10 principles, a decad, right, which they enunciate in a series of corresponding pairs. Now, notice as we go through these that some of these are going to be physical matters, and some of these are going to be moral matters, and there's others that are a little bit harder to classify. Limit and the unlimited. Okay, very basic stuff. Odd and even. So here we're still in the level of numbers. Unity and plurality. There's a pair as well. Right and left. Male and female. Biological sex. Rest and motion, metaphysical principle, straight and crooked, light and darkness. Then we get to good and evil, moral phenomena, square and oblong. And so, you know, you might come up with all sorts of other instances of numbers like that. Maybe there could have been 20, there could have been any amount. But what we see here is an attempt to try to explain everything on the basis of opposites and numbers. Now, Aristotle has some criticisms. One of the big criticisms that he has is that they discussed and defined the what of things. They discussed peri tou tiestin. The tou tiestin is what a thing is, what it is for it to be. But he says they did so superficially so that they didn't really end up explaining what things were. He said they suppose the essence of a thing is that to which the term under consideration first applies. And so as an example of this, he says they thought that double and the number two are the same. And they're clearly related to each other, right? But double and two are not exactly the same thing. He says they thought this because two is the first number, which is double another. But eight is also a double of four. So double and two are not exactly the same thing. So that's a good example of how they didn't define things all that well, even when it came to numbers themselves. Another criticism that he's going to give as well has to do with, you know, if they're constructing everything out of these numbers, and numbers are really something that are eternal. This shows you why it would be attractive to try to explain things in terms of numbers. The problem with that is it's hard then to use numbers to explain how you get motion or change or generation or destruction. Now, they do, in fact, have an account of the universe that says that, you know, things are generated out of the one, for example. But how exactly that's going to take place on the basis of numbers alone, there's really no good explanation for that. You need some other principles to be brought in, and the Pythagoreans are reducing everything else to mathematics, so it's hard to see how you're going to get that. And you know, that's going to be a significant problem. He also tells us that there's a deeper metaphysical problem, and it might even be viewed as a logical problem. Number is being made both the basis and substance, the ousia, as he says elsewhere in this section, of everything. So the universe itself is, in fact, coming out of or is a function of number. And yet, number is also the plurality of what exists. So the numbers are supposed to be what's existing. And then there's all these things that are also there. You're making, as one commentator put it, you're making the basis of reality and reality the same thing. In which case, why are you talking about even having a basis? Maybe we need to flatten out the account a bit. Along with this, there's some weird assertions that the Pythagoreans make that are kind of similar to the decad that we just discussed earlier. And Aristotle raises some puzzles about this. He says, when they make out that opinion, doxa and opportunity, kairos, are in such and such a region and a little above or below them, injustice and separation or mixture, and when they state as a proof of this that each of these abstractions is a number and that also in this region there's a plurality of the magnitudes composed of numbers, what's actually going on there? How can we make sense of this? It seems rather arbitrary, and in some respect that would be a problem because this is supposed to be an intelligible account. So according to Aristotle, at least, the Pythagoreans, they're doing some very interesting stuff, but it can't really be a true account because of all of these problems that we've noted with the account that they're providing. Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.